The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an on-time message from the Word of God.
Well, bless God. Pastor asked us to talk about judging prophecy, and a lot of this content is from our Insights class, as he mentioned. And so if you want to learn how to use your gift, you are welcome to come and talk with us, because we want to see about how many people would like to begin the class for this year. And if we have more than a couple of people, then we will run the class. And if we have a couple of people, then we are going to do like a part two. And for those of you who don't know me very well, the part two is going to be super fun. And it's like, right now it's all in my head and in my spirit, and so I got to get it on paper. So give me a minute. And you're going to let me... you gonna let me go? Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and get started. today we're talking about judging prophecy, and we wanted to let me pray. Father God, we just thank you for this awesome day. God, I just laugh because you just make me happy. You give me a lot of joy. What you did for us this morning, God, was just so good, and we don't take it for granted, and we just want to just thank you for it. Thank you for being here, for speaking to us, for renewing our minds and renewing joy and hope in our hearts. We thank you, God, and we want to tell you how much we appreciate you. Be in this message and help us to say what you desire for us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So we want to start by just from this working definition. What is prophecy? Prophecy is communication from God. Easy peasy, right? Communication from God. A prophecy is a message inspired by God. It's a divine revelation, because anything that comes from the Father is divine, because everything he does is perfect. The Bible says that prophets spoke from God as they were moved by Holy Spirit. Prophets spoke from God as they were moved by Holy Spirit. And we see this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, okay? And can I just note that 2 Peter is in the New Testament? You know, because some folk think prophecy's not for today, because they think it's only in the Old Testament. But guess what? 2 Peter's in the New. So for those folks that are saying that, surprise! So again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Prophets spoke from God as they were moved by Holy Spirit. So a prophet is one who receives God's message and transmits it to others. And we see that in Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Another passage in the New Testament. No, it's good, it's good. Y'all can read that later. So Acts chapter 3, verse 18, another passage found in the New Testament. So prophecy is for today. Tell your friends.
I want to make sure you guys understand, the more excited she gets, the higher her voice gets. So at some point, only the dogs will hear. So ushers, watch out for the dogs outside, but... That's just Ivy, though.
That is just me. And I'm trying, I have to tell you, I feel so giggly and sparkly right now. I can't even tell you. It's very exciting.
Sparkles.
It's very exciting. Holy Spirit is moving, and he has so much in store for us. Today was just a tiny little piece of what we're going to be experiencing in the coming weeks. What a fun season we're in.
Woo! Amen.
God,
amen.
Bless your name. I'm trying to keep going.
Okay, we're just done. You there?
Woo, thank you, Jesus. So communication from God is varied. That means that it comes in lots of different ways. Communication from God is varied. His communication can be dreams. It can be visions, movement. It can be spoken, and it can be written. And so I want to give, thank you, Lord God, I want to give some examples, just a few biblical examples of those modes of communication that I just spoke about. Dreams, vision, movement, spoken, and written. We see in Genesis chapters 37, verses 5 through 8, God spoke to Joseph through a dream. Okay, and this was when Joseph had the dream about being higher than his brothers. Y'all remember that story? Joseph had a dream, and his sheaves were higher than his brother's sheaves, or what's the modern word for sheaves? Grain stack thingies. Corn stalks. Thank you. Look, because from Columbus. I don't know. All I know is we used to sing that old hymn, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Didn't nobody know what that meant. We weren't farmers. We were in Columbus. Ain't nobody farming in Columbus, but we were singing
it.
There's
farmers in Columbus.
There's two. and they weren't at my house. So he had a dream. He had a dream that his corn stalks, his offering was higher than his brother's. And oh boy, we know what happened. He got thrown in the pit and all these other things happened. So all of that was revealed to Joseph from a dream. God speaks through visions. In Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 15, we see God take Peter into a vision. And Peter has a vision about all of these unclean animals. Because remember that Peter was a Jew. And Jews, they didn't eat things with a split hoof. And they didn't eat pork and things like that. And on this big sheet, there were all these animals that he wasn't allowed to eat. And then he heard Holy Spirit, he heard God say, eat that. Bye, baby. Our godson was waving at us. Bye, Cohen. He saw all of these animals, and then he heard God say, eat it. And he was like, wait a minute, me? Eat that? I'm not supposed to eat that. But God revealed that to him. God revealed that to him in a vision. And because God showed him that, you know, what you think is unclean is acceptable to me, then when Cornelius came to Peter, then Peter was able, he was in the right mind to minister to Cornelius's needs. So God does speak through visions. Another thing that's in the New Testament. Yeah, I'm gonna hit on that a few times. So, movement. God is very explicit. Sometimes God says, he'll tell us, go here, walk 5 steps, take 15 steps, go there, take this out of your pocket, put it here. God does that to us. And when we are really in tune and when we're really obedient, we should do every little thing that he tells us to do. And that's what we see happen with Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 1 through 11. This is the story of Jeremiah with the sash. And God told Jeremiah to do all these specific actions and movements with this sash. And then he brought a word from those movements. And so that's in the Old Testament. So God does speak explicitly to us and tells us to do very plain and specific things. And not all the time does he tell us what it means when he has us do these things. But we are to be obedient and wait for it to be revealed to us. And that's exactly what Jeremiah did. Now, God speaks to us through the spoken word. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, we see Jehaziel. This is when Jehaziel stands up and he tells Jehoshaphat and all the people that the battle belongs to God. We all know that story, how the battle, huh? Go ahead, you want to explain it?
I was just saying, they might not know the whole story.
Okay, go ahead.
I won't make it too long, but right. I will tell you, understand that there in Jehoshaphat, there were several kingdoms that had come against Jehoshaphat and his people, and they were fearful. He had to look and God, what's going on here? And he called everybody to go on a fast. And even their livestock went on a fast. Now that's serious. Your pets will probably leave if you try to put them on a fast. But anyway, that is what happened. And he said, our eyes are upon you, God. And they all went and fasted. Listen, if the governor said you all are going to fast, you better fast. And that's what took place. They said, you're going to fast. And they did that. And as they were in that spot all together, then Jehaziel, a word dropped upon him from God. And he spoke. And that's the without going into the full scripture, but that is the same scripture where God said, stand still. This is my battle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fight it.
The battle belongs to God.
And really what happened is he ended up sending out the praise team mm-hmm. before the warriors. The praise team went out first.
See,
and
here
just
we go.
The praises of God that went forward caused the enemy camp and those other enemy camps mm-hmm. to turn on each other and fight and say they did not have to lift a finger outside of their instruments. Yeah. So
That was good, and you rolled it right back. That
yeah,
was good.
See, she was afraid I was going to lose time here.
I was, because I did. I was. I was like, no, I just meant for you to say a couple little things. But so, yes, God does speak it through. He does speak through individuals. And something that is really wonderful to point out about Jehaziel. Jehaziel brought this pivotal word. He brought a pivotal word to the government, and then we don't hear from Jehaziel again. Isn't that interesting? That's interesting. Many times there are some of us that think that, okay, God doesn't want me to say this. I'll just write it on a piece of paper and give it to somebody else so that they can say it. No, sometimes God wants that word to come to you and through you. Okay, and he may have this opportunity with you, just like with Jehaziel. He'll speak one thing to you, and then you go sit down, and that may be the only thing you say for your entire life, for the rest of your days. I doubt it, but you know, if that may be the case, so don't think that if it's not happened to you before that it's never going to happen. It will. God uses whoever He wants. Amen. He uses
That's
whoever
right.
He wants. God also speaks through words or something written. We see that with Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar was the king at the time. He was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Let me refresh your memory about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the one who took the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. He took them and took them captive and all that, and put them in the fiery furnace and all those good things. Well, his son Belshazzar, he became king when Nebuchadnezzar died. Belshazzar knew about the blessing and the power that God had given Nebuchadnezzar. He gave it to Nebuchadnezzar on loan. And Belshazzar really should have followed Nebuchadnezzar's example, but he didn't. And one particular evening, Belshazzar, he was really feeling himself. He was drinking, partying with his friends, thinking he was all that. And then he said, and he was really feeling himself. He told his servants, go get the golden goblets and the cups and the bowls from the temple of God. And he wanted to eat and drink out of them. That's what I mean when I say he was feeling himself. He thought he was all that. He thought he could use God's stuff. And God was like, no. And he wrote some symbols on the wall. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Belshazzar, his legs kind of just broke, kind of came out from under him. It described it as his joints kind of loosened. His joints kind of loosened, and he was starting to shake. His knees were literally shaking because he realized, I've done something. I've done something that I shouldn't do, because this hand came out of nowhere. And it was only a hand, the scripture says. It came out and it wrote these words on the wall. Now, of course, he was shaking in his boots, shaking. And so he called all of his folks, his magicians and all of his astronomers, to come and interpret it. And of course, they couldn't. And then his Belshazzar's wife came to him and said, there is a man in your father's day who could interpret visions, and he has the holy God, the most holy God, walks with him, is what she said. And so he called for Daniel. Daniel basically said to him, you know about what I did with your father. You know how I corrected your father. You know the story. You know how great I am, and you have risen up against me, and I'm going to divide your kingdom, and you're going to die. And then that very night, Belshazzar died. So God speaks through written word and symbols.
Now, you know, good and well, if you saw a hand come out like that, y'all would shake
too.
That
is creepy.
You know, and it makes me think of people on, death row or something like that, you know. We haven't been to that place where we've been so shocked or stressed over what is taking place, but to lose your ability to even stand or the strength to your legs, it makes me think of that. Because, you know, at times if you're on death row, they talk about how they have to actually support you and carry you to it. And so clearly seeing God move, you know, and we know that it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God, if you're not living right anyway. And doing what you're supposed to. He can get your attention. Amen. So before we go into, we're about to talk a little bit about judgment or judging prophetic words. But before we jump in there, I want to follow up with some things Pastor's been talking about, which his teaching he's been doing. And you know what? Not many pastors would teach about this. And so I appreciate Pastor tackling these things that he has, because there's some churches there, they just rather leave it alone and not talk about it at all. But
they think it's only in the Old Testament.
They think it's only in the Old Testament, I visit.
Yeah.
So in that scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:9, you know, where it talked about that we prophesy in part and we know in part, you know, but in that 1 Corinthians 13:9, it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. And I think it's very important to keep this in mind as we try to talk about judging prophecy, because a person could stand in front of you and tell you exactly what God told them to tell you, which means they could have perfectly delivered what God told them to tell you, but yet it still could be in part. You know, there's things that God has spoken to me through different people, and he never told me on this day you're going to be doing this. And then this person's going to come up here and they're going to offer you this. And then you're going to have an opportunity to. No, he'll tell you things that you need to know. And Pastor has talked about this beautifully, about that will motivate you to move on to the next. So he doesn't give you the whole story because you don't need faith if he told you everything.
Right. That's right.
So understand.
You need to say that again.
Okay. So he doesn't give you everything. God's not going to give you everything, because if he shows you the whole picture, you don't have to have faith and you don't have to exercise faith, because he showed you every step, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not what God wants. And so let's keep that in mind, because it is true. We see in part and we know in part. There will never be someone to stand in front of you who could tell you the whole thing. I tell this story all the time, and this is where I got to remember not to get too far into timing, but I was doing this revival in Vinton County, and they had called me in as a prophet. They wanted me to come in, and I had been there several times before, and they wanted me to come in and minister. And I had talked to this family. I see his face right now, but I had talked to them. I knew them very well, hung out with them, had lunch. But yet, when we were up front, and I was speaking to him, I wasn't looking at his face. I was just listening to what God was saying. And I said to the brother, because I was kind of like in this zone just listening. And I said, brother, what's your name? He said, Otis, it's Howard. And it was kind of funny, because at that moment I had to stop and come out from where I was trying to focus on what God was saying. And I see who's in front of me. I say that to say this. You can be listening to God and hear what God has for you to say, and at the same time, not know your child's on drugs. You can hear keen things about someone's life that God is sharing with you and be clueless that your wife is mad at you. Truly, we do know in part. So never get to the point that we think that word's coming from someone who knows everything because God talked to them. They're the man or woman of God. That doesn't mean we know everything. God gives us a glimpse and lets us see.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And then we have to move upon that. And so Pastor was talking about the fact that we must judge those words. We'll never get away from having to judge the word that we're going to receive.
Just one moment. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you, as you move us into this new place where we are going to be a voice for our region, Father God, we just ask you to help us to not get too big for our britches. Help us, Lord God, to remember that it's in you we live and in you we move and in you we have our being. We can't do nothing without you and we ought not try. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, so great. You see it up. Hopefully you can see it better here than I can on the back. Yeah, that's all right, but that's all good. Anyway, so listen, the word must be, now understand we're talking about judging prophetic words. Number one. The word must be in line with Scripture and match the heart of the Father. I mentioned already that there's some pastors who will not even touch on prophecy or prophetic giftings or anything because things have been abused in times past and people have misused it. They haven't properly handled it. And the thing that happens is anytime that you have a separation between what you're saying that God has told you to say and how it aligns with God's word, you're going to have a problem. And so that's a thing. We got to be, that's very special that we focus on that word needs to be able to stand up to what God has already said in his word. And you will never be able to omit the word of God and think you can just run off a prophecy. You just won't do it. Pastor mentioned that last time that, you know, that's the word of God is what's supposed to guide us. We get prophecies to help push us in the right direction and give us some instruction, but we will never get away from this word. Mm-hmm. And so if we can look real quick to Galatians 1. In Galatians 1, I'm going to read in verse 6. I'm going to read 6 through 9. And I'm going to go back and back in the day before we had our cell phones and everything to say, and when you have it, say amen. Amen. In verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. He marveled. I'm astounded. I'm blown away that you are turning away so fast, so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. How quick we shift sometimes. Verse 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay, so really he's saying you're being drawn away to what would seem another gospel, but really it's not a gospel. There's one gospel.
Right. Yes.
That's really what he's saying there. It's yes. Not another.
Yes, sir.
They might have told you it's a gospel, but you're being drawn away to something that is not real. In verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach anything other than gospel, preach any other gospel, excuse me, to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if any preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. So, first off, anyone who's going to share a prophetic word with you, hopefully they've got to the place before they even speak to you that they fear God. Because what it's saying there is if somebody tries to share something with you that is outside of what you've heard God speak through his word, they're cursed. Now, Pastor said, and I agree, you do not judge, for us, We're supposed to judge the word that we're hearing. Judge it. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it for me? Is it not? But don't necessarily judge the individual sharing it. That's God's job. If someone's trying to manipulate you, you just judge the word. God's going to deal with them, right? Okay? So understand, when we stand up and speak, or anyone stands up and speaks to you and says, thus says God, or believes it's a word from God, there should be a little bit of fear and trembling to make sure I'm bringing what God said. It's not a thing to play with.
Yes, Lord.
Amen?
Yes, Lord.
So we want to make sure we come correct. Mm-hmm. So, again, the focus is that you will judge words correctly. So here's the thing. If you are going to hear a word from God and you're supposed to judge it, you are going to have a standard that you've been in to know if that word is right or not. Right? So there's a job for you. So as we go through this, there's a part of the one delivering the prophetic word, but there's also the part for the one who's receiving the prophetic word to do their work. Okay? Nobody gets to sit on the sideline. You have to be in the word of God and have spent time with God so that when he speaks to you, you know, in John 10, it talks about that the sheep know the master's voice. He doesn't try to come through a different entrance. He doesn't try to come through a window, right? God comes correct. He comes to you. He wants his people to know, have an ear to hear, right? And so the only way that happens is us spending time in God. So that word, when you go to judge it, don't judge if it makes you feel good.
Right. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Don't judge if it lines up with your plans. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I've shifted. I know I'm taking way more time, aren't I? Over the years, I've shifted how I pray. There was a young lady I thought I just wanted to marry. I thought she was the best thing since sliced bread. But, you know, I would say, God, give her to me. Give her to me.
He ain't talking about me.
No, it was somebody else. It was somebody else. And guess what? I'm so happy he didn't listen to me. Hallelujah. He was good. And see, that's what I'm saying. I learned not to, because he said, are you sure? There came a point where later on, he said, son, this here is what you wanted. This is what I've prepared for you. Which one do you want? And I was like, oh, Lord, there's no question. Right? I got the one that I needed and the one I wanted. But understand what I started doing in my speech. When I spoke to God, I no longer said, God, please just make this work. God, please do what I'm asking. I don't care how much I want it. I don't care what it is. My words are, Father God, I want your will to be done. Shut the door that needs to be shut. Open the door that needs to be opened. I will go through it. But what I have to be prepared for, what he wants may be a contradiction or contrary to what I want. So you can't judge the word that you receive based on if it lines up with what you said you wanted to do. God gives you a word and says, no, I want you to move to this place. And you say, no, I planned on staying here. My whole family's here. This is where I'm going to be. So that can't be an accurate word from God. Well, that's not what you need to be judging it against.
Right.
Amen?
Yes. That's so, it's so crucial because, The prophetic word that we hear, it must line up with scripture and match the heart of the Father. But I think we as believers, we kind of get tripped up before we even see if it's going to match scripture because, oh, well, that person's bringing a word. I don't like them. That person's bringing a word. I don't agree with that person on anything ever. That person's not from around here. Who is that? We get tripped up in that part before we even go to the scripture. The first thing that we should do is go to the scripture. It's not about how we feel. It's not about what we think. It's none of that. It's a factor in it. Go to the word.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, as we go further into this, there's more for us to talk about, but I don't want to drop it all right now. But I will say, I call these things filters, and we'll talk about them. Oh, is that next week? Yeah, that's okay. I call these filters, mindsets, basically filters where whatever it is God's trying to tell you, you do run it through filters. That's why you got to get your filters in check. And what I mean by that, Ivy just mentioned a little bit of maybe you don't like somebody. Maybe somebody 99% of the time tells you something that is off. There is still an opportunity when someone's speaking to you that you still judge that word, because there will be a time where they may share something with you and God says, listen to that. You can't listen to the individual. You got to listen to God when he says, that's you. That's for you. And that's what we need to listen for, and that it lines up with the word of God.
Amen.
So I'm going to move on to the next one. Can you hit that?
Yep.
I forgot my clicker today, so I can't get to the next one here. All right. So number two, before acting on a prophetic word, it must bear witness with the spirit of the one who receives it. Now listen. We actually altered this a little bit. Some of this stuff we've lifted, and some of it we made it adjust. So we altered this a little bit, because I believe before you act on a word of God, not just before you receive it and believe it, before you act upon it, it must bear witness with you. Okay? So that's very important. There's been people who have moved too fast. God has spoken some things to them, and they didn't ask him about timing. They didn't ask him how he was going to get it done. There's something that Pastor Forte, Leon Forte, I don't know if you guys know him, good brother, and he used to be our pastor many years, and I just appreciate him. But he said something that always stuck with me, and he said, the person who receives the prophetic word will not be the same person who walks through it. And what that means is there's time between you hearing it. I mean, we just talked about Joseph. You know, Joseph had a dream, but before that ever came to be, he had to go through so much.
Right.
Spend time, sold into slavery, worked for Potiphar, got thrown in jail, was prophesying, and I mean, he went through stuff. And so when he became the prime minister, he had already gone through so much. So the person who receives the word is different than the person who walks through it. And so the point is, when you receive a word from God, don't run out the next day, tell your boss you're quitting the job because God's called me into the full-time ministry. Go over to where whoever prints your business cards, print up some business cards. There's people who do all that.
Yes.
Well, God said. And then when it doesn't work, you say, God, you were wrong. I don't believe in that prophecy stuff anymore. No, what you should have done is backed up, spent some time in God, got into his word, spent some time talking to him and say, God, is this really a word for me? How does this come about? God is all about strategy. So it is very important that you don't act upon a prophetic word without it bearing witness with your spirit. Now, I'm going to say something that Pastor has shared this, and it's been really good, about sometimes you will get a word. Someone will speak a word to you. There are times that someone can speak a word to you that is from God, and you not know it. You might not know that word is from God. He might not have spoken it to you before, but it is a word from God. You are not supposed to act upon it until it bears witness with your spirit. And this is what Pastor has talked about. This is just a fact. Now, think about this, and I won't go to that scripture, but you remember Samuel. Samuel prophesied to Saul. Saul went looking for his beast that had were lost. And Saul's out there looking for them. And when he came across Samuel, Samuel said, listen, you're going to hang out. I'm paraphrasing. You're going to hang out with me. And don't worry about your animals. They've been found. Right? That was a prophetic word. They've been found. Don't worry about that. He had some insight. The truth of the matter is, though, at that point, Saul had to take his word for it. He didn't know that they've been found, but the prophet knew. Okay? And the prophet told him that. Later on, he'll find out. So the thing is, when you receive a word, put it on a shelf, like Pastor said last time. Just put it up there. Don't act on it. Because what will happen is, as time goes on, God, if you're listening to God and letting God speak to you, he'll bring that thing back up to you. And it may be 3-4 years later. It could be even longer than that. Years later, God will say, now. Remember that word? Now, listen, are you guys into the Avengers or anything?
Marvel.
I love the Avengers, man. But I think it was Endgame, the very final one. Doctor Strange held off all the way through the show, and he got all the way towards the end, and Tony Stark, who is Iron Man, was wondering what's going on. He was wondering, how does this thing come out? Doctor Strange, at the very point, he didn't spoil it. He didn't tell him too soon, this is how it's going to end, because Doctor Strange knew how it was going to end. He knew that from the previous movie. But we get to this point, and Tony's wondering, when am I going to know? Finally, Doctor Strange looks at him and says, he points at him, now. Now's your moment. Now, I'm saying that because God does the same thing with us. You know, it's funny. Pastor Forte prophesied to me when I took my position as Deputy Director of Finance at Children's Services. I was still going to Grace Christian Center at that time. Pastor Forte prophesied to me that I was going to get a job as Executive Director. That was in 2008. Here we are, 2021, and it's come to pass. Now, what I'm telling you is, I would not have been ready back then. But God had to remind me, didn't I say? And I can tell you so many people who spoke words. Tony spoke a word to me. Kim sent me a text, didn't even know what she was doing. Sent text right at the right moment, right when I was doubting myself. And God, I know I'm taking way more time than I should. But right when I was doubting myself, I was having a conversation with God in the bathroom. At my job. And I was serious. Within seconds, I walked to my office. I'm 4 or 5 seconds. I'm kidding you not. I just sat there looking in the mirror and I said, are they going to give it to somebody else? Is this not going to work? Is it? I know you said it, God. You said it. And I'm like, but they could do what they want. Walked to my office. Bing. And I looked. And if I could pull that text up right now, but it said something along the lines of, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but God says he's got it. That fast. What am I telling you? God connects the dots. Yes. You might not know at the moment, but when it comes about, then he's saying, didn't I tell you? Why are you worrying? Didn't I tell you? So anyway, I know I'm taking too long. Okay, listen, on A, is it up there? Okay, so under this same header, number two, I want to talk about this here. It doesn't necessarily, understand, this is talking about the fact that you have an understanding or that word rings true for you. It doesn't necessarily have to make sense in your mind. That's the thing we need to remember. But there must be a yes in your spirit. Something that says, that's it, an aha moment, let's say. Something that is a yes in your spirit. Look for the moment when God's word resonates with you, okay, with your spirit. So even though it might not make sense, somebody might say you're going to be president. Somebody might say you're going to own your own business, and you're thinking, I barely can put two nickels together. What is up? Don't compare it to what you've got. Listen to what God is saying. And you have to bear some type of witness with that word and have a yes. That's right on. Also, you must test it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 21. Go ahead.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast to what is good.
Amen.
That's it. Hold fast to what is good. So it's just important that you have to when you get a prophetic word before acting on it, you gotta take a beat, take a moment, test it, study it. Does it match the scripture? Like we said in point one, does it match the scripture? Am I supposed to be doing this? When should I do this? Ask Holy Spirit questions. He appreciates a dialogue with his people. This reminds me of Pastor Dot. Pastor Dot has told us many, many times that before she started working in children's ministry, that she didn't like children. She didn't want to have children.
But God.
But Sister Tammy asked her, hey, you want to look at this curriculum? And she looked at it and she was like, well, I'll give it a try. Sometimes bearing witness with our spirit is not necessarily agreement. Because again, look at Pastor Dodd. Pastor Dodd has told us many times that she didn't like children. And now she's a pastor of children and a mother to many. Glory to the living God.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to the living God. Does it match scripture? Study it. She looked at curriculum to try and figure out, I'll give this a shot. And look what has happened. My children are blessed because Amen. She studied it out.
That's right.
My children are blessed because she tested it. Yep. Glory to God.
Amen. That's true. That is so true. So anyway, we must test it and spend time with that. Number three, which is up here. Wait, is it?
Oh, sorry. I'm the clicker and I shouldn't be. Go ahead.
Click, click. All right. So the fruit of the Spirit, I'm sorry, the fruit of a prophetic word must be that the person receiving it is brought closer to God and his people. So I'm going to try to do this without going on. She's laughing at me and telling me to.
You have to stop soon.
I have to stop soon? Yeah. It's okay. Like okay, that. Yeah, people want to eat.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we are going to do part two in 2 weeks. But anyway, here, I'm going to say this real quick. The fruit of that word must bring you closer to God and closer to the body of Christ. God will never give you a word to separate you from him. His word will never separate you from him. Now, it is important, though, that I say this to you. That does not mean the word is going to be nice.
Yes.
That doesn't mean the word is going to be pain-free. There's times that when you break something, they have to reset it. And sometimes resetting it hurts.
Yes.
So let's not get, if we're judging the word, if it makes you feel bad, don't think it's not from God. I know it talks about exhortation, edification, and comfort. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things will happen. Sometimes being exhorted to something could cause you to leave something that you feel comfortable in. And he's trying to move you to something else. So it could be difficult. It could be a little stressful or painful. Not so much stressful. Stressful if you're trying to hold on to the world. Let's say it that way. The things God wants you to grab hold of, it's better for you. But after a while, he has to really get your hand. Sometimes he has to pry our hands off of even sickness.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's some people who cling to sickness. They say they want to be healed, but the truth is they love the attention that sickness brings. Mm-hmm. People just come and they embrace you. You know, so sometimes God says, listen, I want you to I'm trying to set you free. Let that go. Mm-hmm. And it's a struggle. So we're going to talk more and more about this. There's a lot that we have here for
yes.
you.
We didn't get as far as
yeah,
anything
I told
we
you.
Thought we would. Just not at all.
I told you we'd run out of time, yes. But we do have another week. So listen, we'll pray about this. We're going to get all of this done, but there is so much here, and I just pray that you will hear what God wants to say to you, and that as we go forward, it will just start to work in our mindset of how do we hear? And that includes if I get a word from a woman, if I get a word from a man, if I get a word from somebody who lives in Gloucester, or you may say something about, oh, they're Rutters. You know, which there's derogatory things that we have. I'm not saying that. That's not Otis. But I'm saying whatever clan you think can't bring you something, we're going to teach you how to override, or hopefully get you to override those things and solely listen for the voice of God where he says, this is me.
Yes.
I'm talking.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
God. Thank you.
So that's our goal. We're going to go in and cut it down just to be mindful of your time. But Pastor, we'll hand it back over to you for closing.
Thank you. I know there is so much to share in regards to judging prophecy, and they're doing a great job giving us some really good information. So, you know, whatever it takes, we're going to be back in a couple weeks sharing some more. I will be out of town that week, so I'm going to miss out. Hopefully we'll be able to catch it streaming. But whatever it takes to get all the information, we're going to do that, because this is so important. This information is important for the body of Christ to be able to understand it, to glean from it, and be able to apply it to our daily lives as well as, you know, our church life. But to be able to walk in these prophetic gifts and the gifting that God has called you to. He wants to use you. He wants to use each and every one of us. And in the daily life, in the marketplace, to be able to minister to people. And we need supernatural insight to be able to do that. We need God, not just us. We need God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Oh, yeah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Bow your head this week. Pray to wrap up our service this morning. Father God, you're such an awesome and mighty God, and we praise you. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit is moving among people, that you hear. You hear our cries, Lord. The pain, the difficulties, the situations that we go through on a regular basis, a daily basis. Things that are happening in our lives vary, Father, but we are still crying out to you. We want to hear your voice. Help us to be clear on these things that we're being taught, so that we'll have an understanding of how you speak to us and how you want us to deal with those things that you say. Father, draw your people closer to you. Help us to walk in your ways, to seek your face above all else, to seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, today we just give you glory and honor. You are King, you are Lord, you are on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory. I want to ask you, if you have a need this morning, I ask you to come up and we will pray with you before we wrap up the service. If you'd like to have prayer for anything,
hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.